Welcome to Ladies Who Question. Heather Fowler is here. She is a realtor in Lake Bluff. What happened? We have a little already. We are back in the saddle after our Christmas break. So
here we go.
We're having a little, technical malfunction. Are you okay there?
I am. I pulled my microphone out by accident.
You've never done that.
I know. I don't know why. I was moving it.
Nice job, Holly.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, we're back after a Christmas break. Bet you didn't know we were gone, but we did replay a couple of oldies. You know, they were ones that they were in line to replay, so we did, and we hope you enjoyed them. By the way, this is something we've never asked anybody to do. Would you please hit like on our YouTube or on our podcast or on Instagram if you want to follow us and subscribe.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to go for one thing. If you can just like
like
us.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe, baby. And I've never asked you to do this before, but you know, Holly and I had a little talk and we said, hey, other podcasts.
They ask. They inquire.
Yeah. So I'm saying, give one for the team. Thanks. Yeah. Anyway, Heather Fowler is our guest today, and Heather is a Lake Bluff realtor. I know Heather because, well, just from around town, and because, damn, Heather, welcome, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
We love to talk local, and this is another edition of Let's Talk Local from Ladies Who Question. You do such a good job of merchandising yourself as a realtor.
Oh, thank you.
Where did you learn to do that? Did that come naturally or is that from another?
No, not at all. I don't like to put myself out there, but I have a really good coaches and advisors with the brokerage. And so these are things they recommended that I do. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. And I think it's going well. So.
Oh, it's going really well because I'm drawn to your ads when I see them, you know, in like Forest and Bluff or, you know, Sheridan Road or wherever I see them, I'm like, wow, it's a well-composed picture. And you also have a group.
Yes.
And she has a couple of people in her group, Holly.
I know. I love the way that you work on teams now. I mean, that seems to be something, the norm
kind
in the industry.
New.
Yeah.
And I come from a family of realtors.
Okay.
But I'm not a realtor, but I'm fascinated with real estate and I go, oh, that's so nice to have a partner or you're going away for the weekend or somebody you could rely on to do an open house for you, et cetera.
Exactly.
Well, why don't we start with how you got into real estate and how long you've been doing this?
Well, who are you with here?
I'm with At Properties.
At Properties.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. And I started with At Properties. So I've been a real estate agent for 8 years now.
Oh, okay.
I got into it because I was working in nonprofit and then I did accounting because I wanted to be home with my kids and work while they were sleeping. So I did that. And then we bought a condo in the city in 2012. It was bank owned. It was dirty. It had horrible pictures. And I thought, these pictures look awful. I would walk by outside and I'm like, I think it looks a lot better than it is. I think it probably has a lot more potential. So we went and looked at it. And it was the only house, like only condo we could afford in the neighborhood we wanted. So we bought it and then we negotiated the price down because it was bank owned. And we're like, well, let's try it. So we did that. We moved in. I think it spent $4,000. We like did the floors. We painted. We put a tile backsplash in and then it was clean. And then we lived there. So we had our furniture there. And then 2 years later, we put it up for sale. And I met with a couple agents and nobody was meeting the price that I thought it was. And then we found someone who did. And then we sold it for that price. We had multiple offers and I got that price. And then 2 years later.
The nascent beginning.
But I'm still, you know, like I'm taking care of the kids. I have a boutique like accounting firm that I can do on my own when the kids are asleep. So I'm just, you know, this is just something that we're doing to grow our money. And so then we bought another condo, did the same thing. And the agent that I worked with said, you should do real estate. He's like, I don't do anything for you. I come, you have everything ready. It's, you know, staged. You have the price right. You know, he's like, I don't do anything for you. You should do real estate. And I thought, well, maybe I will. So I was going to work with him, but then it didn't end up working out. And it took me a long time to get my license because I was still doing my boutique accounting firm, which I'm still doing now, but I'm not taking new clients. I only have one left and they won't let me go.
Are you an accountant?
I did bookkeeping for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not a CPA. So it's mainly for one nonprofit is the bookkeeping that I do. And a lot of it's automated now. So.
Oh, true.
It's very, okay. Yeah. But that was my background, which helps with real estate.
Right.
It helps a lot. But so then we moved up here. I finally got my license. It took forever. And then I ended up, he said, go meet with the office, with the people in Lake Forest with that properties. And so I went and met with people and met with people who I still, you know, they advise me, give me advice. I worked with one of them for a while. So that was my start. I joined the office and then I said, now what do I do?
And that was when?
That was in 2017.
Whoa. And you exploded that quickly?
Yeah.
It's 2026. You did all that since 2017?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm impressed. Just started, a lot of my contacts were in the city too. So I just started, you know, working with different clients in the city, friends that I had. And then I started working with more people up here. I was an assistant to Andra O'Neill for 2 years, which was amazing. I did a lot of work with her. And I started helping her in 2019 when it was really slow. And back then you would have 30, 40 listings at a time because it took a year to sell. And so you were just kind of babysitting these houses for a year because people would also move and they would move on. You have to go check and like flush all the toilets, run the showers, turn on lights, turn off lights. You know, just keep everything going. So I learned a lot because we were taking care of all these properties. And then the pandemic happened. And then we sold out everything.
Oh, my God.
And it was so crazy busy.
Such a rush.
Yeah, it was.
It was a real springboard, really, for your career.
Yes. Yeah. And also, I got to work with an amazing agent and just, you know, see everything she did. And, you know, she'd be like, go to this house, do these showings, go, you know. I was very busy. And then we sold out. And she's like, I don't have any more work for you to do. And I'm like, that's okay. I think I have, you know, my stuff is picking up, so.
Yeah, I have my bookkeeping. It's okay.
No, I don't want to do bookkeeping anymore.
So were people just coming out of the woodwork to buy a house, or were they like moving to Florida, or who was the buyers in all these?
Oh, in the pandemic?
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part, they were all coming from the city. Okay. Or actually,
that's what we heard.
It was weird because there were certain states like California. We had a lot of buyers from California.
That's so true.
Wow.
That's absolutely. Yeah. I know several people here who came from California.
A lot of people from California. Yep. A lot of people were also, like maybe they were empty nesters in whatever state they lived in and they want to be near their kids.
Okay.
So they were all coming too. So it's just a lot of people. I really liked the whole vibe of it because you would talk to people and people were making moves for family reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to be near their kids or near their parents. And, you know, they were making a lot of decisions based on that, which is nice.
Yeah.
And they also probably wanted an actual yard.
Yeah.
From the ones from California. A yard and more room.
Yeah.
More mm-hmm. of a house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we moved from the city in 2016, which was great timing on our part. Like had no idea. But we also had a lot of fears moving to the suburbs from the city because you're used to, I was in the city 15 years and you just thought, am I going to be boring? It was, you know, am I going to have friends? Like, you know, you just thought it was going to be a downgrade and you don't realize how much of an upgrade it was because, you know, you didn't realize, oh, I lost a lot of friends in the city because everybody's moving away or everyone's having kids. And I didn't know what happened after you had a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old. Like, I didn't know what happened because I just didn't see anyone who was doing that. I didn't know anyone with teenagers. I didn't know anyone with middle schoolers. I didn't know anyone with college kids.
You mean you didn't know how involved you were going to be with the kids?
I just didn't know how it would look.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm like, I'll figure it out, but I don't see anyone doing that because everybody leaves. And so.
The city.
Yeah.
They do. That's right.
We were like the last people left in the city in our friend group. We had 3 kids, so we had stayed very long. So we had a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old. And then it was nice. I felt like during the pandemic, because you had all these people who were scared and they were just, you know, thought they needed to move. And then they thought, I'm going to be boring now. And I'm like, no. It's actually amazing because I thought the same thing. And the restaurants are great up here, sometimes better. Like, and we had gone to some restaurants that I was shocked were in the suburbs because you always think Chili's or Applebee's or something like that, like strip malls.
There's not one to be found.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would talk to them about that. And I would also talk to them about how we had friends that were peers or friends that had kids that were older. And so it's like, you see what life looks like beyond right now.
How did you find Lake Bluff?
It was so crazy. My husband got a job in Lake Forest, but a recruiter reached out to him about the job at in Lake Forest. And he came home from work. And
he was working in the city.
He was in the city. I was in the city. And he came home from work. I told him something needs to give. We were in a 2-bed, 1-bath condo on a 3rd-floor walk-up.
With 3 children.
With 3 kids.
Oh, boy.
I had fallen and hurt my ankle so bad. The podiatrist said it was the worst thing you could do without needing surgery or breaking it. So we were in a 1880 building, like it was built in 1880. My crutches were too wide for the hallways,
oh
so I had to
God.
Crawl.
Oh,
I had to crawl
no.
through the
I'm so sorry.
With three little kids. And I told my husband, I said, something needs to give. I don't think this is working anymore. And I felt like we aged out. I would go to the coffee shop. Everyone would look at my three kids in the stroller and say, ew, gross. How could you do that? And then there would be a dog who would like poop on the floor and they would give him a cookie and be like, oh, that's fine. You're so, you know, and I'm like,
ew.
My kids are well behaved. Yeah. Why are dogs better?
Really?
Yeah, that happened.
Ew. Okay, I'm hoping it's an isolated incident.
It happened once.
Really disgusting.
But more like the dog situation happened once. But everyone looking at my kids with like horror in their eyes happened all the time.
Like, look at those little paws.
Yeah.
Everything,
yeah. And they weren't like that. Like they were great kids. So I just said, look, I think we aged out. I think we need to do something different. So the recruiter contacted him and he came home and said, recruiter called me from Lake Forest, the suburbs.
And you're like, let's go.
I said, and? And he's like, I told them, no, we're not going to the suburbs. I said, you call them back. You call them back right now. He said, it's 5:30 on a Friday. They're closed. I said, I don't care. Call them back. Leave a message. Call them Monday morning. And then I Googled, you know, Lake Forest. And I said, it's by the lake. How bad can it be?
Wait, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Michigan.
Oh, so that's why you were unfamiliar with the North Shore.
Yes.
Got
yes.
it. Okay, because you went to the city. Okay,
yes.
Party, party, party. Got
the
it.
Only suburb I knew was Evanston.
Because, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You could take the train there. I knew some people who lived there. You could take the train there.
Evanston is a great little city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not here. That's
right.
For sure.
No.
It's
right.
much more citified.
And when you think of suburbs, you think of, you know, like Schaumburg, Naperville.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk bad about
it. No, you think of the Western suburbs.
The North Shore is a gem, and especially Lake Bluff. I mean, we say all the time, we can't believe we found Lake Bluff because maybe it found us because it's truly the best place, I think.
It is.
In all of the suburbs.
So.
I'll say all the suburbs.
It is. Yeah.
I think so because I'll drive Sheridan Road for whatever, if I have to go down to any, up and down. And I'll think, okay, I know I'm here. And as I get closer to home, if I'm going north, obviously, I think, oh, I'm almost where I can breathe.
Yes.
Like it just feels exhaling now, you know? And it's
great.
Yeah,
I feel like the energy really, you know, you can feel it. It's very zen. And I always tell people, you don't accidentally get to Lake Bluff. Like you don't drive through it accidentally.
Right.
Like you go there
on
purpose.
It's not on a route. No, it's hidden.
Yeah. So I think it keeps it very quiet and very safe and very, you know, just unassuming. Mm. You don't realize it's here.
Yeah, that's absolutely
because I've
true.
Driven on Sheridan Road from the city to Wisconsin, like with a friend. We did that a couple times. Never did I ever see Lake Bluff or think, you know.
Yeah, well, because it juts in and out.
Yeah,
it's kind of a kooky route.
Yeah.
If you do, I did that once with an old boyfriend. Where I was like, let's just do. You know, we always did little adventures, goofy stuff. I said, let's just see where it takes us.
Yeah.
We did that with Green Bay Road too.
Yes,
and it's like you're going. I thought we were going this way, but I guess we're jogging to the right, jogging to the left.
Yeah.
You know, east and west.
But
you get to see things you didn't know.
You
like,
do.
You know, found a really good custard, you know, place just across the border. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to do adventure. So that's how you landed here. And
well, then we were looking at properties to buy, to move up because we had the condo. And so we looked at a couple different things and I said, I don't think we're going to be able to afford anything. But then we found a house in Knollwood. And that was great, too. We had such great neighbors. We really loved living there. But then in the pandemic, so in the city, I always walked every day by the lake. And so during the pandemic, I would drive to Village Hall. I would park there with the kids. We'd walk all the way to the lake and they would hang out and we'd walk back. And I said, I really need to live by the lake again. And he's like, we do live by the lake. I said, no, I have to walk to it in the morning.
Not this far.
So then I found a place off market and now we're East Lake Bluff.
And it's so funny. I told Holly, I told Heather when I first got into the house, I said, I have not been in this house since 1967.
Oh, that's right.
Because when I was little, you know, when I lived, you know, I was here.
Okay.
And somebody, one of my playmates that I would, when I'd come visit my dad, lived in that house. It was very different. It was very French looking before. And then did you guys add the second floor? No, that was a while
before
ago.
Before us, yeah.
Okay.
In the 90s, they did that.
And then somebody added a second floor. It used to be quite different. It was kind of weird walking there. I went, this doesn't look like I remember it, but it looked great. I mean, you know, I was there to Clover. How is Clover doing?
He's doing well.
She has the cutest doggy that I was walking when it was just a teeny puppy when she needed some relief. last summer, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was out of town and I didn't really trust my kids.
Well, with a puppy, you got to keep that dog on a schedule. Yeah. It's really important. Anyway, this doggy, this puppy, I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah. I bet he's, how many pounds
he's
is he?
He's not that big. He's under 20 pounds. He's like 18 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
It's Which so we're very cute. Thrilled with.
I'm because I know that's what you wanted, right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of a starter dog for you.
Yes,
you'll have more. Because the kids were like, and it's so cute. Anyway, he's darling. I don't want to spend too much time on dogs.
It's a mini Bernedoodle.
Yeah. But he's got markings to beat the band. You just look at it, you go, there's something else going on here. But this dog has the most beautiful markings.
Yeah, he does.
Beautiful.
And he has one blue eye, one brown eye. God,
how cool.
Oh, he's just.
And he's very social. Like, he loves to go on walks. That's another thing I love about Lake Bluff is everybody walks. Everybody says good morning or hello.
Yes.
And then everyone has a dog or a kid. That's why it's on the logo. That's what I say. I'm like, that's why it's on the logo. There's a dog and a kid and they're running. Right. They're just running. Yeah,
that's right.
And my husband says they're not together. They're just running.
Yeah, they're just like running to the wind.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. That's so true. So you've been in Lake Bluff since 2019, did you say?
We moved up in 2016.
16. Excuse me. Lived in Knollwood.
Yep. And then we moved east in 2021.
Oh, okay. Okay. 2021. Got it. What do you see for the outlook for 2026? I guess we'll talk local because we're talking local, like Forest Lake Bluff, you know, Knollwood, whatever, wherever.
Yeah.
Or just generally North Shore.
Yeah.
If you want to include the city, you probably still sell in the city, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, then talk in either general or specific terms. What do you see for the outlook for 2026?
I mean, it's been very interesting. The clients that I have in the city were clients that I had at the very beginning, and then they're all now selling what I helped them buy and buying something different.
In the city or suburbs?
Some in the city, some in the suburbs.
Okay.
So it just depends. But they're all like moving up, which is normal. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing is going to happen. I feel like, you know, there's still low inventory. Even in the city, there's been low inventory, but I think nothing compares to the low inventory of the North Shore.
Boy.
It's rough out there.
Yeah.
So I would hope, you know, it's always nice when more inventory opens up or people decide they want to downsize. You know, it's like, we'll happily take their.
I mean, we're baby boomers, you know, both of us, but the ones that are just a little bit older than us, like the far end, the baby boomers, you know, the beginning of the boom.
Yeah.
A lot of them are dying. Let's just face it because they're 80 years old,
right?
You know, in that area.
Well, and these are all life cycles, you know, I think related to life is, well, real estate and life are very intertwined because you have, whenever there's a major change, usually that indicates a major real estate change.
And also they are downsizing finally, a lot of them. Although where they're going, because even those spots are taken up by other people, but they're going to the nicer places that are smaller.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to, with the
interest rates. Did the interest rates just go down?
They went down a little bit, I think.
Enough to like motivate people?
Honestly, I really don't feel like it's going to make a difference. On the North Shore, something that happened just with the low inventory is people had to be very creative about how they did their financing. So a lot of people had started to need to write cash offers. And cash doesn't necessarily mean they're paying cash at the closing table, but sometimes that could involve family gifts. That could involve like family gifts and a smaller mortgage. That could involve like a mortgage, but you're not going to it's not going to be a contingency for you to purchase the house. So that's cash mortgage allowed.
So that's what that means when they say it's a cash deal.
Yeah. Yes. It'll say cash mortgage allowed or just cash.
Or would it mean they also have already been all pre-approved at the bank 100% for whatever they need to so they can move so quickly?
No, that would be a mortgage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always wondered.
Sometimes people will have, you know, a lot of assets, like they'll have money that's invested.
Mm-hmm.
And so those banks that they have a relationship with will give them a loan based off of that. And they can call that cash mortgage allowed because they have the assets to purchase the house.
Okay.
But they don't want to, you're not going to sell all the stock.
Right.
You know, and then have all the taxes with that to buy a house.
I don't know why I didn't ask Beth Kepper. Do you know that name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really? Because, boy, she hasn't lived here for the longest time. But she's a legend.
Yes, she is.
She is one of the sweetest people you would ever know. Anyway, Beth and Mary Cole were the ones who... Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I never asked either of them, because we were a cash deal. And what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, yeah, whatever, just get us in here. You know, like, yeah, I want to get in here. You know, so now we know.
Right.
Now,
that, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, okay, that's nice. I'm going to pay a little bit less. But I think people are way more motivated to get a house than they are about, you know, $50 or $100 or $200 difference in the payment for a month.
So that will provide some movement within the market, you're saying? Maybe.
But I feel like the motivation's already there. So, and a lot of people have had to be creative with their financing. So I don't think, sometimes they would say like if it dropped a point, that might, you could buy something that was a higher price point.
Okay.
To keep that monthly payment the same.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like it affects much for the North Shore. I think other areas, yes. And I will say also the North Shore in Chicagoland specifically, the real estate's very stable. There was an article in Cranes recently talking about just how inventory has continued to shrink. So prices have continued to go up. That's not really true everywhere. You know, real estate's also very hyper local. So different, you know, areas like the North Shore, it's going very well. Mm-hmm. Other areas that are probably further out from the suburbs, they're not doing as well as the North Shore.
Like Northern Lake County, Northern or, no, or Western suburbs?
I would
suburbs,
just say
or?
Like further out. Like I think all around Chicago, like where you can commute or you can be close enough is doing very well.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Because people are having to go back into the office.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've noticed the trains are a lot.
So I do
more
think that
full.
Has a little bit to do with maybe the areas that are further flung out, not growing in their demand.
Okay.
So
what percentage of people are transfers from companies? Like, you know, Abbott and AbbVie are huge here.
Mm-hmm,
I'm just curious, is because that used to be, when we moved here, that was what was driving it. This was the late 80s and 90s. Early, that was driving the market, like transfers, transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still the case?
No, I don't think so at all. I think maybe 10%.
Oh,
I was talking
nothing.
To my kids about this today, actually. They ask me a lot of questions sometimes about just different, I don't know, different things. They read a lot too. So
I'm like, nice to have curious children.
Right.
But I was saying, you know, in Chicago, or we were talking about like different areas because where my dad grew up, he grew up in Decatur.
Yep.
And so, you know, I said there's different places like when they're so focused on one industry and that industry moves or closes down or changes, it's really hard for the community to adjust because everything was put in that basket. But in Chicago, you have all these different industries and businesses and people are always adjusting. You know, like if one business closes down, someone has an idea to do this other thing and then everybody kind of does that. So there's a lot of industries. Like we're not all, you know, all of our eggs are not in one basket.
That's a terribly sad story what happened in Decatur.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Really brutal.
It is.
One of my friend's daughters got her first teaching job down there.
Okay.
And
do you know what school she was at?
I don't know the name of it.
My grandma was a teacher in
Decatur.
So.
Yeah. And she's a tough cookie. So she could handle it. But I can see a lot of people just saying, wow, this is too much.
Right.
You know, what was it? Harvester or Caterpillar or what?
I think it was some kind of,
a big machinery
that
plant.
Did, my dad said it was like soy. Well, there's a plant that did a lot of like soy processing because he said he always thought it smelled like stale potato chips.
Oh, the corn.
Well, but I think there was Caterpillar.
Yeah.
There was Caterpillar that was
because
there.
Because soy processing should still be.
Right.
But soy
is
the biggest,
between soy and corn in Illinois, that's the crop.
But I think with different mechanics, you know, maybe they don't need as many people or, you know, I don't know.
Probably have a robot picking the
I was going to say
soy.
AI.
Oh, God. Oh, AI God. Don't get us started on that.
Speaking of AI, does that dip into your business?
A little bit. I mean, I think.
Or do you use it to your advantage?
I use it to my advantage, definitely. And I use it to my clients' advantages.
How so?
So when a lot of people will ask AI questions like, you know, what's a good recipe for dinner tonight? Or, you know, what, like some random fact. But sometimes they'll ask, you know, are there any good ranch homes in Lake Forest? And so AI will go and they will read the property description. And so they'll like read through a lot of them. So I have a program that I use that I input a lot of answers to questions. And then they'll write, like we had SEO optimized things before, so search engine optimization. Mm. So now you can use different programs for AI optimization. So I'll write my property descriptions so AI can read them and then recommend them to people. things like that.
So that's you mean, much more convenient?
When you say recommend them to people, oh, for the people that are out there looking for a certain style house, like you said, oh, okay.
Because you can see
and then your description will come up. Mm-hmm. So then they'll most likely contact you as the realtor.
Or be interested in the house. And, you know, that would drive more interest.
Okay. I see it's like a way to market also. Okay, interesting.
Because I would thought Google would have covered all that. Or excuse me, Zillow or whatever it is that you guys use.
Yeah, but I think people are using AI a lot more asking a lot more questions. So it's, I always say, like, you want to cover all of your bases.
In marketing?
You never know. Yeah, you never know where your buyer is going to come from. Like, I sold something on Facebook Marketplace before, like a house.
Wow.
It was so...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You sold a house through Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, I just put it up on there. It was like, that was in my early days. I had posted, at different places. You know, I use social media a lot. I posted it there. I said, let me just try it on Facebook Marketplace. And someone, that was the buyer.
Wow. Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that because I just started browsing Facebook Marketplace recently and I'm seeing houses on there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Well, you were one of the first.
Because you just don't know. Like, some people will look at Zillow. Some people will look at Realtor.com. Some people will ask AI. Some people will use Facebook Marketplace. Like, I don't know where they're going to look. Or they found a video on Instagram. Yeah. I don't know where they're going to come from.
Wow. I would find it difficult to trust something on Facebook Marketplace because of the scams that have been.
Definitely.
You know, there have been a lot of those.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then it's like they buy the house, they... If you're coming across the country or something, like there's a squatter there or something.
Right.
Like, we've been living here for 5 years.
Right.
Wait, what's going on here?
But, you know, you get that checked out.
I mean,
out
it
with
is put in the MLS too. Right. You know, it's officially listed.
Yeah. Right. And they have a number. They can call you. Yeah.
Exactly. Or they can call their agent and then their agent can call me. I don't like to do dual agency. So.
Oh. Okay.
Usually people reach out to me. I ask, do you have an agent? You know, do you need me to recommend one to you? You know, but I don't want to work with them. I want to work with just my clients.
Okay. You're not going to do buy sell.
I don't like doing that. I feel like no one's happy except for maybe me when I get the check.
Right.
But you know what? Yeah. But yeah. I just don't like doing that. I like to operate from the position of trusted advisor. And I feel like, how can you really advise your seller in a good way if you're also advising the buyer? And I just don't feel
conflict.
Like people feel good about it. And it's your home. It's not like a car, you know, it's not a couch on Facebook Marketplace. Yes.
Right. It's most guys, most emotional.
And I'm sure
it's very emotional. It's a huge financial asset, you know, and I take pride in what I do. I like to, you know, do a really good job and be the best I can be. And I just don't feel like dual agency works.
What are your best reasons for moving to Lake Forest Lake Bluff, North Shore area?
I just think, you know, especially if you have kids or even if you just want, it's more quiet. I feel like as I've gotten older, I need it to be more quiet. But I also need it to be convenient. And I really like the community. The community is great. I think there's something for everybody. And I think
so too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we've met a lot of people in a lot of different stages of life and, you know, everybody's been very happy, but I really like to walk to the lake. That's my favorite.
We do too. When my Harvey, my doggy was alive, that was our hangout, man.
Yeah.
Almost 14 years.
Yeah.
Boom. He would like bust out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I know where he is. He's either at that neighbor's on North eating his tomatoes again, or he's at the beach.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, so
he's like,
okay.
Well, right.
That was one good thing.
Yeah.
But oh gosh. Well, is there anything else? Because otherwise, I think we've just sucked the life out of her.
No, yeah. I enjoy this. Well, I'm always happy to talk about real estate and life and Lake Bluff, of my favorite
topics.
Tell
us how we can find you.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, there's that.
I'm on Instagram. It's Heather Froman Fowler.
And why don't you spell that? That's kind of
Yes, Heather. Mm-hmm. And then Froman is my maiden name. So F-R-O, like Fro, and then Man, M-A-N. Fowler is F-O-W-L-E-R. And then I have a website, heatherfowlergroup.com. And
those are your two.
Or just Google me.
Heatherfowlergroup.com.
Lake Bluff and all the marketing will come up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted you to spell it because I remember I kept in my head going Froman, but no, it's Froman. So, well, that's, I have learned a bunch between you and then Daria, who you know from.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a wealth of knowledge.
Team?
So she and I will back each other up when we're out of town. But she has really mentored me in a lot of ways. Like, we go on walks every week, and I hear, you know, she'll say, oh, I sold that house. And, you know, she has a whole story to go with that. But she's been such a great friend and a wealth of knowledge for me to just absorb and learn from her. So
Daria's great. Cool. Daria Andrews. We had her on in October or something, or yeah. I don't know, whatever.
Our kids were the same age. Oh, okay. So I think. And I knew her from that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so great.
Oh, she's a great person. And you're a great person. I can see you two. A lot of similarities.
Oh, yeah. Aren't there a lot of
a lot of personality similarities, don't you see?
Yeah. She said she's Granny Grunt and I'm Granny Grunt in training. Because sometimes we'll see like a U-Haul by a house or like a bunch of cars and we'll call each other and be like, what's going on with this house? Do you know?
Yeah. Granny Grunt. That's a new one. Usually I see Gladys Kravitz, but that's sort of outmoded. So Granny Grunt, that's cross-generational.
Right. Yes.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Heather, for being here. We really—
Thank you.
It was a lovely conversation. I love to hear all the stuff and scoop of what's going on, and your background was great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we like to learn stuff, too, because we have questions.
Yes.
We do.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Local with Ladies Who Question and our lovely and delightful guest, Heather Froman Fowler. Give Clover big fat smooch for me.
I will. And like and subscribe.
And like and subscribe, yes. Baby. So tune in. And thanks for listening. And goodbye.
Bye.
Say bye, Heather.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Harvey. Ladies Who Question is executive produced and edited by me, Lisa Dominique, and also executive produced by Holly Caulfield. Holly also does most of our research, and Claire Caulfield is in charge of technical assistance and social media. Music, My Lionheart. Sketch music by Florian Manx and Matthew Anderson. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe, follow, rate, and review Ladies Who Question on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Send your thoughts to ladieswhoquestion@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Threads, and our website, ladieswhoquestion.com.
All content discussed on Ladies Who Question are the opinions of Lisa Dominique and Holly Caulfield and should not be construed as advice of any kind. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as advice of any personal or medical issue for yourself or others. This disclaimer also applies to guests or contributors to the podcast.